I'm beginning to start a series, and I've already preached, as has been said, one time ago. It was a while back, so we might need to just remind ourselves of some of the things we said last time, just to let us know where we are at in this book of James. And we're focusing on trials in the beginning of James. I don't know if you have any trials in your life. I'm guessing you do. Of various sorts, that you have walked through the valley at different times in different settings. Some of us recently, some of us not so recently. This time of year can be a time of valleys, and students who may be going home, you don't know the situation at home. It may be a difficult situation. You may have a valley that you're going to be facing as you go back to your home. Some of us, the holidays can be a valley because of the things in our lives. And so we face these kind of things, these trials, these perplexing decisions in the course of our lives that we have to figure out. It might be, what career should I do? I've lost my job. What should I be doing next? Some of us may be lonely and desiring to have relationships and have that kind of thing in my life. Some of us just have the trials of being parents and dealing with the difficulties of raising our children. Some of us have health issues. Some of us face trials in that area of life. Should I have that surgery or not? Should I be doing the things that need to be done in this area? How will I endure those trials? And so we need to think about this when we're thinking about what might be a trial in our life. If you're dealing with a financial trial, you might be asking yourself, what do I need? And you'd probably say to yourself, I need money. If I am in need of finances, I need money. You know, if you've got loans to pay, if you've got your bills that are outstanding there, you need money. That might be the thing you're looking at. If your trial is loneliness, you might be saying, I need a relationship. I need to be in a relationship at this time. But James is going to tell us that's not how we go about these things. And besides the obvious question of why me in the face of a trial, what is the next question that we face? And I'm going to suggest that it's, what do I do about this? How do I handle this problem? How do I take care of it? How in the world am I going to get through this trial, this difficulty? What should I do now? You may have something in your life right now where you are just perplexed. You're maybe almost paralyzed because I don't know what to do at this point. Well, James is going to help us navigate through some of this as we look again at his letter here to these people. He gives us the answer in our text today, and we'll see that as we progress through here. So we're going to be reading James chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 12 to give us our context here. Listen to this. This is God's word. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. so also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And we'll end our reading there. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you speak to us through your word that has been kept for these thousands of years that we might have it, that we might hear from you. May your spirit be upon us, that we would know your truths, that you would challenge us, comfort us, and move us to follow after you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the last time that I was here talking about this, which was a while back, we noted three reasons for why there are trials in your life. And we noted that the first was to test the genuineness of your faith. And the second, we said, was to produce perseverance in the face of trials. And then thirdly, to perfect us, to make us mature and complete, not lacking anything. And James knew that his readers were lacking something, which was preventing them from attaining this level of Christian maturity, this perfection, as he terms it here. And so what does he do? He focuses in on what was lacking by repeating again in verse 5 here the verb to lack. And he says to them, in that sense, the mature and complete, not lacking anything. But then verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom. And so he immediately, subtly connects this not lacking anything to lacking wisdom. So James' message here begins with this in verse 5, suggesting we're probably lacking wisdom and we need this in our lives. And I think it's relevant to us today. We still lack wisdom in our lives. Like James's readers, we need to see how this works for us. How about wisdom? Well, first of all, what is wisdom? How do we understand wisdom? The wisdom that James is speaking of here is not merely information or simply education. It's not indeed even just training. For James, wisdom is about doing. It's about taking God's word and applying it to all aspects of our lives as Christians. Our world is to be shaped by his word. So wisdom, according to James, is that ability to skillfully apply the word of God to our real life situations. Wisdom is the ability to judge and evaluate sorrow and joy, not just from a human standpoint, from God's standpoint, to view things from God's perspective in the face of whatever our trials are, whether there's pain or comfort, the things that are going on, understanding how God sees these things in our lives. And so if we look strictly from man's perspective at this, it's typically an ungodly response when we see things, when we're dealing with trials. The pressures that come upon us usually do not bring out a godly response in us. And yet, biblical wisdom is the ability to know that in the midst of everything, whatever is going on in your life, God will work that for our good. He says that in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And so this is what we need to understand about God. This refers to that kind of wisdom that we need in the midst of trials. God will bring about good. He will enable us to survive and live in the proper manner in the sense of these trials. There's little in which Christians feel the need to be heavenly in their wisdom than when there is this difficulty in their life. We have little else that drives us to this place where we say, I can't handle it. I don't know what to do. And so we turn to God in the midst of those difficult and hard places, those disappointments, that grief, those things that come upon us. And so that's how we want to understand wisdom. Well, James says, if you lack wisdom, why is he talking about lacking wisdom? Well, what wisdom might it be that we're actually lacking? I want to suggest some ideas here of what that might be. First, a wisdom that enables us to understand the nature, design, and tendency of trials. We tend to have a very different view of trials and say, I need to get that out of my life. That's what we looked at last time. I don't want to deal with it. And yet, what we lack is a wisdom to live in the midst of that trial, to do what God calls us to do. And probably in the midst of these trials, you're going to face new things in your life. You're going to face things that you never thought you would have to face. And so you're going to need wisdom to do that. Another thing that we lack is a wisdom to learn the lessons that God has for us. We should always expect that God is teaching us in the midst of our trials. He always has a design that we would learn something in the midst of our trials and our testings. We need wisdom to do that. We need a wisdom to find out and understand the sins that come in the midst of those trials. We need to understand that we may act wrongly. As we said, we may have ungodly responses. And so we, in the midst of that, need to see how we can repent and be corrected in our response to these trials that is of sin. And I need a wisdom to learn how to do that and to learn how to avoid that kind of sinful response in the future. And so we need to realize that in the midst of our trials and temptations and testings, there's danger for us. There's a danger that I may fall back in to the pattern of what I had done before that was wrong, that I may continue to do what just seems right in my own eyes, to do what is wrong in this situation. There's a danger, as we heard this morning, about grumbling and complaining against God. There's a danger of showing a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of lack of submission to what God would have us to do, and say, I'm just going to do that anyways. It's who I am. It's what I want to do. And so we need to be careful that we have this concern, because we have lack of wisdom in our life. We will not get it right. We have a heart that is prone to sin. And there are great and important issues that we need to understand in the midst of these trials. So that's what we lack. So if you lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do about it? What next? Verse 5 shows us what we want to do. And very simply, it's obvious, it's in the passage here, verse 5, the one lacking wisdom should ask God. This asking God for wisdom is going to come about why? Because you need and recognize wisdom. You know that you need this. We simply will not ask for wisdom if we don't think we need it. Have you realized that in your life? When you think you know it, when you think you have it figured out, you don't ask other people. You just go ahead and do what you're going to do. And yet for us as sinners, this is one of the dangers that we faced. In 1 John chapter 1, it talks about this, where we will walk in darkness. We won't follow after the truth. We won't seek these things out, because sin blinds us in this very place. And yet what does God do in 1 John 1? He calls us to walk in the light as He is in the light, to follow after Him and know His light. He desires for us to know the truth so that we might be free in Him to follow as He would call us to do. All of us need the kind of wisdom that God offers to us. But there are those of us who don't recognize that need. We think we're wise in our own way, and we choose a human wisdom over that godly wisdom, and rarely does that work well for us. There is a godly wisdom that can be ours only when we come to recognize we need Him. We need His wisdom. We need to call upon Him for it. And so it's important for us to note here that when James calls us to ask God for wisdom, he's not saying just once. Sometimes we'll say, okay, this is a bad situation. I'll ask this one time for this in this setting. But James here says, no, that's not what it's saying. And the way the Greek is here, it's this ongoing, continual asking for wisdom. It's not just only for the big things, only for something that I just don't think I can handle. We must ask God repeatedly for wisdom every step along the way. When we encounter a new challenge, when there's a trial, when there's something in our lives that's testing us, we need to trust God enough to ask Him for wisdom. To live in the flesh or to walk in the Spirit, which do I pick? I'm to walk in the Spirit, to be set free by the light of Jesus Christ by asking Him for wisdom. So I'm to ask continually. I'm supposed to be doing this regularly. I'm to also ask specifically for what I need. The very wisdom which is necessary in that particular moment, I want to ask for it in that moment. We ought to ask God to guide us in this very way, that we would know what He would call us to do in that moment. You might be feeling guilt, embarrassment, shame, confusion. You might have a troubled heart. You may be dealing with a thing. Well, speak specifically to God. Ask Him exactly what you need and what your situation is. It's one of the things that we as Christians have this privilege that we can come to God, we can pray, we can present these things to Him and ask Him, not just for like, give me general wisdom in my life, help me not to be doing ignorant things and doing things in a bad way. We can be very specific, and indeed that's what James is calling us to do. When the moment arises, when we're in the midst of it, turn to Him, and He can do this for us. We need God's wisdom. And you realize when you're stressed, when you're worked up, when things are not going well, this is not a good time for you. Someone who is overwhelmed in their life when they have all these things going on typically don't make good choices. You've been there, right? When you don't make the good choice, you have these things before you, you're in a rush, things are not what you'd hoped for, there's tension, there's things going on, and you will likely make a foolish decision in that moment. If you're upset, you're not thinking straight, you're in the midst of this very thing, James says to you, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, what he's also saying in that statement is you do lack wisdom. So many times, what do we think? We think we've got it together. We think we've got a handle on it. But James here is saying, if any of you lack wisdom, he's not indicating that some of us may not lack it. He's saying we're all going to lack wisdom in time. So we need to be aware. We need to realize that every one of us have to say that when we get into that moment, that pressure, maybe it's depression, maybe it's discouragement, maybe we're dealing with disappointment, finals are coming up, you're going to have opportunity to seek God's wisdom in your life. This is a time of year when we have this upon us. Every one of us needs wisdom in our own way. We don't all need it the same way, so we can't all pray for it the same way. We all have a specific way we should do this. And as I said, we can't get this wisdom by going to school. We can't get this by mere experience. We don't get it by enduring trials. This wisdom only comes from God. Unless we ask for it, we won't have this kind of wisdom in our life. So, how does God give wisdom? And again, this is obvious. We've said this in a sense. First of all, God gives wisdom to those who ask. If any of you lacks wisdom, it says he should ask God. And the goal of a writer here was to encourage those in this particular setting that if you have this sense of need, go ahead and ask. Have you asked God for wisdom? Have you looked at the trials and the testings of your life recently, and have you turned that over to God and said, God, I don't know what to do? Have you literally asked Him for wisdom? Are you asking Him in the midst of your trials and testings? So first of all, God, how does He give wisdom? He gives it when you ask. Secondly, God gives wisdom generously. Look at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously. Wisdom is so easy to acquire because the giver of that wisdom has incredible powers and is incredibly generous. Our God is fully capable. James tells us that God is generous to us, his children. He gives generously to all. He's not stingy. He's not going to say, well, no, not this time. He's not going to do any of that sort of thing. He gives us more than we ask. And so there is nothing good that is denied us that he would refuse to give us. He doesn't give partially to some and not to others. He gives generously. And thirdly, God gives this wisdom without finding fault. Without finding fault with that sense of this. So not only does James say that God answers that prayer and he gives the needed wisdom, but he says God will do it in a way that will be very encouraging to you, that will be uplifting to you. He's not going to reproach you. He's not going to go, this is the millionth time you've done this. I don't know why you keep asking. Can't you remember what I told you? He doesn't say that to us. He gives this without finding fault. He won't humiliate you in this process of meeting your need. The gift won't come with that long lecture of how disappointed he is and that you got yourself into this. He's not going to do this. Think of that father with the prodigal son. What does he do when his son comes home? He opens his arms to him and he kisses him rather than scolding him. He generously puts that robe on his shoulders, the ring on his fingers, and gives him a party. That's the kind of God we have who gives generously. Do you see how you can be assured that God will answer your prayers in this very way? You need to ask, and he will do this. He will do it generously, and he will do it without finding fault. It's not based on your performance. You don't have to get things right. It's not based on your remorse or you're feeling bad or sad about it. It's not based on your resolutions that are coming up for the new year about what you're going to do if God will do this. It's not about that. You don't get it because of those things. He will do this because it's His character. He is a loving God and He will generously answer your prayer. Just need to ask Him. Think of Luke chapter 11. And here we have this passage about what would you expect from this father? And Jesus is speaking in this and he says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's His promise. That's what He tells us. That's why James can say, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And then the fourth and final thing that we see how God gives wisdom, it says this, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. It will happen. It will happen. That's what we need to know. God will do this for us. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. That's what our God is like, and that is what he does. It will be given. this promise, and it is that, in regard to wisdom, it's for us, it's absolute, there's no way it will not happen, and we may be sure that if we come to Him and ask for His wisdom, it will be granted to us. What a marvelous promise, what a great blessing that He is willing to do. There can be no doubt about it, that this is what God will do for us. And it will be for our good. And He is ready to do this. He's waiting for you to ask for His wisdom. There can be no doubt about that. There can be doubt about some things that you asked for. I'm guessing you've prayed for things and maybe they didn't happen. Maybe you didn't get them. Maybe you shouldn't have them. And that's why it didn't happen. But in this situation, God says, I will give you my wisdom. It's for your good and you will get it. Well, how do you get wisdom? Where does this come from? Well, I'd say first through God's Word. As you engage in God's Word, He will enable you to see the truths of things. He will open your eyes by the power of the Spirit that you can see what God is directing you to do. Second, you get this wisdom through prayer. When the Holy Spirit brings to mind God's truth for you, when He is bringing and suggesting things to you, bringing passages to your mind, when He is inclining you to do what is good and wise, you get His wisdom. Third, you get this wisdom through the counsel of wise believers. Wise believers. Do you know how sometimes we know who we go to ask for wisdom? We go to someone who will give us the answer that we want, not necessarily what God would say. And so we need to go to those who are wise believers, who will not give you what you want, but will give you what the Word of God says. And you get wisdom through that. And then you have this wisdom comes to us just through our daily life, the Spirit working in us, making plain to us the paths that are right and good and obedient, and taking away those things from us that will be those temptations that would take us in another direction. So you see the value of trials in our lives. They expose our need for wisdom. Did you realize that? If you didn't lack wisdom, if you didn't have these trials where you didn't have wisdom, you wouldn't know that this is what you need. These trials, these temptations, these testings make us aware of our need of God and for His help and His wisdom in our life. So ask for wisdom first. And then do the wisdom that He gives you. Don't just say, well, thanks for the suggestion. I'll take that under advisement. It doesn't work that way. Don't listen only. Listen and do what God calls you to do. Don't waste your time complaining. Oh, this situation is so terrible. You know, you have no idea what I'm going through. You just waste time feeling sorry for yourself instead of saying, God, what should I do? And then go ahead and do what He says to it. Go to Him in prayer. Seek what He would have you to do. Because you have the choice. You have the choice in your life whether you're going to lean on your own understanding and what seems right in your own eyes, trying to fix up that mess yourself, trying to get through whatever it is that's gone wrong and hope for the best. Or you can take James's advice. If you lack wisdom, go to God. Ask Him for what He will do for you. So what is the one thing we need most when we're in the midst of a trial? It's not money. It's not relationships. It's wisdom from God. Wisdom from God so that we can consider it all joy when we face trials of many kinds. Because if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, it seems so easy, it sounds so easy, and yet when we're in the midst of those hard times, It just doesn't seem to come naturally to us. We tend to fall into our own habits, our own ways of doing things. And Lord, we need to realize that, repent of these things and these ways that we go our own way and we do not seek your wisdom. And yet, Lord, if we are not yours, none of this makes sense. We need to ask for you to become our Savior and Lord. We need to ask for repentance of our sin and turn to you, trusting in you alone for our salvation, so that we can even come to you and ask for that wisdom. So, Lord, if there are those here tonight who don't even know you, that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that your Spirit would be upon them, that you would bring new life to that person, that they might indeed seek you and ask you for wisdom in these places in our lives. And Lord, those of us who are in that relationship with you, Lord, give us a dependence on you and a lack of dependence on our own understanding. Lord, give us a heart by the power of your Spirit that will come to you and ask for wisdom, knowing these promises and truths of what you will do for us. We thank you in advance for what you will do in our lives in this way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.